The book of Psalms, chapter number 90. The book of Psalms, chapter number 90. I want to talk to you. You should have a handout, I hope, and talk to you a little bit about time and the value of time, both eternal and temporal. And we'll look at it from both perspectives. I hope you are people that enjoy your Bibles and opening them, because we're going to look through probably four or five different scripture texts tonight. And I hope you'll stay with me, and I think it will help us to be able to put things in right order with that. Let's stand, if you would, once again. The book of Psalms, chapter 90, verses 1 through 7. This is a psalm that was written by Moses. And if anybody understood the significance of time, Moses did. And we'll share that in just a little bit. But Psalms chapter 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Get that. 1,000 years is just as yesterday. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. But we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, and our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. A tale that is told. What tale would be told of your life and my life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these dear people. Many of them came directly from work, and many of them had other things they could be doing, and they've chosen to be in your house. And you know my heart's desire. I want to enjoy them, but I also want to preach to them what the Word of God has to say. And I want us to consider our own lives, both eternally and temporally. There are probably some here tonight who have been brought as guests who do not know Christ as their personal Savior. And may they understand, I am not here to judge them. I am here to love them and let them know that far beyond my love and Pastor Hunter's love, there's a love given by God, and that He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, for them. And they can come to know Him personally tonight. It's not about works, not about some gifts. It's not about religion. It's about knowing the Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray that will sink deep in their hearts, and the Holy Spirit will work in the message tonight. And then for those of us who are blessed to be a Christian, help us to look at our lives and put them in perspective temporally and understand that we have a numbered day, and we need to be busy about God's business. We need to work hard for the Lord, and we need to work hard in our churches, and we need to work hard in seeing people come to know Christ. And I pray, Lord, that You'll just speak to us tonight. Help my mind to be clear, and may the Holy Spirit work through me. And I pray that I'll remove myself totally from the scenario and ask You to work. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. I've heard, like you have, people say, I just don't have enough time. Or there's not enough hours in the day. Or where did all the time go? I'm 61, I'll be 62 in April, and where'd that time go? Time just flies. And there's a lot of sayings, and one of them I like because it kind of fits where I am tonight. Marcel Archer said, when I give a lecture, I accept that people look at their watches. But what I do not tolerate is when they look at it and raise it to the ear to find out if it stopped or not. So I'd appreciate you not doing that tonight, okay? Because I will be watching. If you don't think time is a factor, now, let's just be candid. How many of you have a watch on or some type of time instrument? You have an iPad or an iPhone or whatever. You have a watch on. Slip your hand up. You have a watch on. Okay? You know what the sad part is? Now, your church may be a little bit different. and it's a lot like my church, because our folks actually carry a Bible to church. But in most churches, there are more watches than there are Bibles. You ever thought about that? More watches than Bibles. Because time has become such a factor in our lives. It used to be money. Money was the priority in gaining money. But now it has become a situation of time. And trying to fit everything that we're doing in 24 hours a day. I know from raising kids and soccer practice and basketball practice and piano lessons and baseball practice and being at church and on list goes. You kind of like, is there enough time in the day? There's something that you need to consider tonight, and that is this. Each one of us, you, me, doesn't matter who we are, where we're from, each one of us has 86,400 seconds deposited into a day. 86,400 seconds. Yours are no different than mine. You don't have any more, you don't have any less. You have 86,400 seconds deposited into your day. And the question is, what are we doing with those 86,400 seconds? You see, if somebody put $86,400 in your checking account, would that change things? Okay. Yeah. You'd pay real close. You'd probably call up somebody that's an investor and say, how do I invest this? How do I make sure that it's used wisely? And of course, the first thing you would do is give the church half of it. Kidding. But you have 86,400 seconds given to you and given to me every day. And a lot of times we never even talk to God about it. We never ask. We just kind of get through day by day by day. Age is a funny thing. How many of you are 20 and below? Slip your hand up, okay? Just humor me. 20. I saw that hand. You're not 20. I'm sorry. I'll see you at the altar. I know I got one person come to the altar tonight, okay? I got pretty good eyes for an old man, don't I? So his wife looked at him like, you are not 20 and below. How many are 40 and below? 40 years, 40. How many are 60 and below? How many are 100 and above? You see, we judge things by time. We judge things by years, don't we? When somebody asks me my age, I'm 61. I'll be 62 April the 24th. I was born in 1952. And so we judge things by time. I like what one author wrote. He said, do you realize that the only time in our lives when we like to get old is when we're kids? Is that interesting? He said, if you're less than 10 years old, you're so excited about aging that you think in fractions. How old are you? I'm 4.5. You're never 36.5, but you're 4.5, going on 5. That's the key. You get into your teens and now they can't hold you back. You jump to the next number. How old are you? I'm going to be 16. You may be 14, but you're going to be 16. You could be 12. And then the greatest day of your life happens. You become 21. And even the word sounds like a ceremony. You become 21. Yes. But then you turn 30. Oh, what happened here? Makes you sound like bad milk. He turned. We had to throw him out. There's no fun now. What's wrong? What changed? So you become 21 and you turn 30. Then you're pushing 40. Stay over there. It's all slipping away. You become 21. You turn 30. You're pushing 40. You reach 50 and your dreams are gone. You become 21. You turn 30. You're pushing 40. You reach 50 and then you make it to 60 where I am. And you say, whoo, I didn't think I was going to make it this far. You become 21, you turn 30, you're pushing 40, you reach 50, you make it to 60. And by then you build up so much speed, you hit 70 and you can't stop. After that, it's a day-by-day thing. You hit Wednesday and you get into your 80s, you hit lunch. Arthur said, I mean, my grandmother won't even buy green bananas. It's an investment, you know, and probably a bad one. He said, it doesn't end there. You get in the 90s and you start going backwards. I was just 92. Then a strange thing happens. If you make it over 100, you become like a little kid again. I'm 100 and a half. The truth of the matter is this. God expects us to use our time wisely. We talk about money and stewardship. We just completed our stewardship month yesterday with our commitments at my church in Savannah. But I told my church, and I was very clear because I preached on time and talents there, and I told them, I said, God has given us those three areas, and time is just as valuable. And so we're given that 86,400 seconds to use each day. And so with that in mind, I want us to put this in perspective with three thoughts. You have your notes there. But the first thought is this. Time passes quickly. Would anybody say amen? Amen. It does. It just passes so very, very quickly. I was thinking when I preached this at my own church, I graduated from Savannah High. In 1970, there was 500 and some graduates there. I almost hate to be on Facebook now because they keep Facebooking people that are passing away that are of our age. I remember working as a bag boy carrying out groceries as a 16-year-old kid with long blonde hair. I lived on Columbus Drive. Now I have 4 children and 7 grandchildren and a wife I will have been married to for 42 years this June the 10th. And I pastored where I am for 20 years, which is 1/3 of my life. Where's it all gone? It just passes so quickly. Well, this psalm was written by Moses. Moses, for the first 40 years of his life, was running and hiding because he had killed an Egyptian. The second 40 years he spent leading the children of Israel in the third 40 years, wandering in the desert. He understood the significance of time. And the point that I want to get across in this psalm, and we'll break it down in a moment, is that there is a contrast given to us by him between the brevity of human existence in comparison to God's eternity. The brevity of human existence in comparison to God's eternity. We think if we get to be 100, that's a great thing. And that's fine. I have a lady in our church, Jewel Evans, a charter member, 95 years of age. Now her health has become a little bit of an issue, but she still drives. And when she can be there, yeah, I know, I'm nervous when she's out there too. But when she can, she's there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Wonderful lady, won't leave until I give her a hug. And she's the only lady in my church I allow to give me a kiss on the cheek except my wife and get by with it. But that life is still so brief in comparison to eternity. Now let me break this into twofold here. And I want you to look at this. Look at verse number 1-6. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, you were there. You're God. God has always been there and always will be there. That doesn't change whatsoever. Thou turnest man to destruction, sayest, return, you children of men. For 1,000 years and nights out, but as yesterday, when it is past, as a watch of the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. The Bible tells us the grass groweth up and the grass withereth away. In the morning it flourishes, grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. That, my friends, is a description of this temporal aspect of this life. We go through seasons of life. The contrast is found in verses 7 through 11. And let me just read verse 9 and 11. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. I preached this yesterday morning. Maybe you're here as a guest tonight, and thank you for being here. But the plain fact is this. Every person, unless Jesus Christ comes back and the rapture takes place, which I believe is going to happen, don't know when, but if it doesn't happen, we will face death. Everybody here will face death. And why? Hold your finger here and turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 5, please. The book of Romans chapter number 5. This is a familiar portion of Scripture to many, but I still want us to see it tonight. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse number 12, Paul says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by what? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands because you're an honest people, but the bottom line is this. Every one of us is a sinner. Nobody is exempt. If you're sitting here tonight, you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, listen to me. We are all sinners. The only difference is we've asked for forgiveness of our sins, and God has saved us, and our prayer is that you will do that. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Death is going to come. It's just as sure as I am standing here speaking to you tonight. Turn just a little further over with me, the book of James, chapter number 4. The book of James is one of my favorite chapters. I just finished doing a series in the book of James. And he reminds us of just how fragile this life is and how quickly time passes away. He says in verse number 13 of chapter number 4, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue there and buy and sell and get gain. See, don't raise your hands once again, this rhetorical, but how many have plans already set out for tomorrow? And the next day, and next week, and next month, and next year. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but understand, those plans can change. They can change. My plans can change. Whereas you know not what shall be in the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You ever iron clothes? You ever put that water in there and you get the iron hot and put the little steam button, that steam comes up, but what does it do? It dissipates, doesn't it? Doesn't hang around very long. It's gone. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is what? Evil. Therefore to him that doeth do good and doeth it not to him in a sin. You see, we have 86,400 seconds given to us every day. Do with it as God directs. Use it wisely. Time passes quickly. Number two, and let's just move to the second thought. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Time passes quickly, and number two, time can be wasted. And it can. Time can be wasted. You know, as and your pastor's young. I've got a son almost your age. Time passes quickly, And I understand that it can be wasted. And, you know, when the older you get, the more you realize how significant that time was that was wasted. Is that true, my dear friends? You kind of look back and say, I wish I had. I wish I could have. Okay? And so I want to make sure we understand that time can be wasted, but God doesn't want us to waste it. Look at chapter 5, verse number 8. Now, Paul is once again writing. He wants them to understand they are a new people because of that salvation through Jesus Christ. He says, for you were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the world, walk as children of light. I would say the majority of you here tonight know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And what Paul was saying, you're no longer in darkness, walk in the light. But to do that, you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in to dwell within you. He establishes residency. But what you do with the power of the Holy Spirit is up to you and me. I've told my church over and over and over, I don't like darkness. I really don't. I've been a scaredy cat ever since I was a kid. My brother and I lived in a concrete block house on Ladies Island that my daddy built. It was a small little house, probably not much bigger than two of your office sections there. And my brother and I had bunk beds. And I had to sleep on the top, if I remember correctly, because my brother kept falling off. And my brother's 11 months younger than me, and my dad had to get us to go to sleep by telling us that there was a monster in the room underneath the bed. I never looked. Didn't want to meet him. I'd jump in my bed and I wasn't getting out. I'd tell my brother, Pat, put your foot out there. Let's see what happens. If he doesn't pull you under, I'll be okay. I just never have light darkness. They tease me at the church. I don't want to walk through the church and turn lights off. I'll pay somebody else to do that. Churches are weird in the dark, aren't they? Things go bump in the night. So church members who went to sleep during our preaching is what it is. They're still in there. But you've got a nice auditorium and you've got lights on right now. But how silly would it be for us to turn all the lights off? And we sit in the dark. That's what Paul was saying. We are Christians. We don't need to sit in the dark. We have the light that has been given to us. He says in verse number 13, but all things that are reproved or exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. Wake up. That's what he's saying. Wake up. It's what when your folks woke you up or you're waking up your kids, what is one of the things you say? Time to get up. Is that right? It's time to get up. And I think God says to us sometimes as Christians, it's time to wake up. This world is headed down a bad path. I don't want to harm anybody's feelings, but I'll be honest with you. Our country is in a mess. And I'm not blaming any one person. My personal opinion, agree or disagree, don't come to me and tell me how much you disagree with me because you're going to hurt my feelings. My feelings are very, very fragile. But once they allowed abortion to take place in this country, and many other things that have followed, I think God has withdrawn His hand in many ways from us. And it's time, listen to me, you've got a great church, and I've got a great church, and there's many other churches around this country that are just like this, and it's time for the Christians to wake up. It's time to walk around and be afraid we're going to offend somebody and hurt their feelings and everything else. Sin is sin! You didn't have a problem telling your kids about that, did you? They go out at nighttime and come back after curfew and you'd be like, where you been? God is saying, hey, I've given you the truth. You have this book that contains the truth, and you have the knowledge of this book that's been taught to you by your pastor and others. It's time to wake up. Don't sleepwalk. Don't just get by. Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, you younger ones won't remember this, but I remember this as a kid. How many remember the S&H greenback stamp books? You remember those? Every Saturday night, we'd get around the table and we'd lick those stupid stamps. I think that's what caused me to lose my hair. I really believe that glue did that to me. And we look at those stamps, and we put them in those greenback books, and my mom would take them to the store and get a toaster or whatever she could redeem it for. And that's what it was about. It was like money. It was something that would redeem for an object or something that she wanted. Look at what he says. Redeem. Get something out of this time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand the will of the Lord is. Time can be wasted. God wants you and me to avoid wasting life and discover the will of God and do it. Time passes quickly. Time can be wasted. Number three, and I'm almost done. I invite your attention to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3. Time will be answered for. Time will be answered for. I've been wanting to do this all four services. I'm coming down for a minute. I got to get out of this cage, man. I'm getting claustrophobic. Can you see me and hear me back there? Is that okay? Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 gives us the understanding of the frailty of this life and the significance of life and death. And the wise man said in verse number 2, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Read this with me. A time to be what? And a time to what? You believe that? Get the four-letter word. Time. Time, it's valuable. There's a time to be born, but there's a time to die. And the thing is, we don't know when they're going to be born, and we don't know when they're going to die. But there's a time for it. And God has a time for you, and God has a time for me. And I have those 86,400 seconds that God gave me this morning to use. And I may only get to use 30,000 of them, or 50 of them. But the key is to use them wisely. Use them to make a difference in God's kingdom. Use them to make a difference in this church. Use them to make a difference in your family. Use them to make a difference in people who do not know Christ and need to know Him. People in your church that need to be encouraged and loved on and lifted up in difficult times. I just saw a gentleman in a military uniform over here. I don't embarrass you. You may be a guest. But we have two bases in Savannah. We have Fort Hunter and Fort Stewart, which you're very aware of. We have military in our church. We pray for our military. Okay? And I honor you and respect you. I really do. And one of the reasons we do that is because they're fighting for you and me. I wonder how many of us are fighting for God. I wonder how many of us have put on that soldier uniform that God gives to us as Christians and said, hey, let's go win. You've got an area around here. We've driven around because we've been lost. I'm still looking for that cat. If you were here yesterday, you'll understand that. And you've got From what I've seen, Plantation and Weston and Davie, and I'm sure there's other areas that my wife and I have passed through and don't even know the name of. You have hundreds and thousands of people who need Jesus Christ. And they have a time to be born and a time to die. And he continues here to say this. A time to get in verse 6 and a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to what? Speak up. Speak up. What profit hath he that worketh that therein, or wherein he laboreth? God is interested in how we use the various seasons of our life. God is interested in what we do in the fall, and what we do in the winter, and what we do in the spring, and what we do in the summer of our life. God is interested in those 86,400 seconds that are given to us because they're a gift from God. You know, every morning I wake up, I realize the older I get, it is a gift from God. Isn't it? It is a gift from God. Now you're sitting here and your young ones are thinking, man, oh man, I'm going to live another 50 years. And I hope you do, or 60, 70, or 90 years, whatever. But you may not. And I'd be less than honest if I didn't let you know that. The book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27 is appointed unto man once to die. But after that, the what? Judgment. I do believe in a judgment after death. Now for the Christian, it's going to be about stewardship. What we've done with that which God has given to us. How we've used it. Whether we gain crowns. That we can put at the feet of Jesus Christ or not. For the unsaved, it's going to be a very, very difficult judgment called the Great White Throne. And your eternity will be set in stone to a place called hell. Now, I do not use that term, Lucia, lightly. I'm going to tell you what. I would do everything within my power, to make sure that everybody in this auditorium tonight knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I mean that. I would. Because there is coming a judgment. And I believe a part of that judgment is going to be our time. God is going to say, listen, I've got the clock. I know how much time I've given you. What did you do for me? How much time did you spend telling others about Christ? How much time did you spend reading your Bible? How much time did you spend praying? How much time did you spend in church? How much time did you spend on your knees praying for family and friends that are lost without Jesus Christ? How much time was spent? If you would, I'd ask you to go back to the book of Ecclesiastes, if you went to Hebrews. And let me just finish up with a couple scriptures. In the book of Ecclesiastes, in chapter number 11, if you have a heading in your King James Bible like I do with mine, verses 7 through 10, the heading says, rejoice in your youth. Rejoice in your youth. And he says in verse number 9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into what? Judgment. It's going to come. And chapter 12, in verse number 14, the Bible says, for God shall bring every what? Work into judgment. Your time is a part of your work as a Christian. 86,400 seconds are given to you and me every day. What do we do with them? As I was sitting in my bed at the room, and I usually use something else to close this out, or did when I preached at my church, but it hit me. And let me just be very, very open and honest with you in closing. Because I've preached a lot of messages about time, and there's a reason for it. My folks got divorced when I was 12. My dad was in Beaufort, my mom was in Savannah. I was one of those kids for 4 years, went back and forth every other weekend, and holidays, every other holiday, and a couple weeks during the summer, and, you know, that's just the way it worked. My dad got remarried, and his wife then had four children, so I was glad to get out of that environment, and nobody was a Christian, and go to my mom's house, and even though she wasn't a Christian that time, it was a quieter environment and a little safer environment. And I went back and forth and back and forth, and when I lived in Beaufort, because of all the stepbrothers and stepsisters I had, we didn't have much place to get any solace, just get away. And we lived on a street, and right behind our house, there was another, or right in front of our house, there was another house, and right behind that was another house. And the family that lived in that house, their names were Williams. We became fast friends. Roy was my friend, and Jerry was my brother's friend. And we liked going to their house because they had air conditioning. They did. That was unusual back in those days. But they had air conditioning. And his mama was such a gracious host, and she would, and don't feel sorry for me, but she'd feed us lunch and give us snacks and stuff like that. And we just didn't have the money to have that back then. And so we'd go over there and spend a lot of afternoons watching their TV, and they had color TV. I mean, it was wonderful. And Roy was one of my best friends as I was growing up. When I moved to Savannah, Georgia, as a 16-year-old kid, because I didn't drive initially, we kind of lost a little bit of contact. I went off to Bible college when I was 18. We had made some contact back and forth because I'd go back to Beaufort every once in a while and to do some things there or whatever. And we'd make a little bit of contact. But I never told him about Jesus Christ. Because I thought, we've got plenty of time. You know, at some point in time, I'll be preaching at Bible Baptist Church in Savannah, because that's the church I'm out, and maybe I can invite him to church, and he can hear the gospel message. Or maybe I can get him alone and take some time and talk to him about Jesus Christ. Came back after my first year of Bible college. I was at my adopted mom's home, and I got a phone call. It was Roy Williams' mother. I was 19 at the time. She said, "Herbert, can you do something to help me?" I said, "What's that?" She said, "Roy shot himself yesterday or last night. I want you to help with the funeral." I felt worthless. Here is a mom calling me, a young man that has surrendered for the ministry, asking me to do the funeral for one of my best friends that I never told about Jesus Christ. As far as I know, he did not go to heaven. And I've lived with that for all these years. And it's been the impetus to remind me in my preaching, time is important. And there is a judgment. And we have family and friends, without question probably, that do not know Christ as their personal Savior. time is very important to them. Because if you don't take the time, and somebody else doesn't take the time to tell them about Jesus Christ, you could be attending their funeral like I did Roy's. And the whole time I was there, the little bit of words that I had to speak, I felt like one of the world's worst hypocrites. Because I had not taken the time to tell one of my best friends about Jesus Christ. 86,400 seconds God has deposited into your daily bank called time. I pray we'll use it wisely. Would you bow your heads, please?